joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line, Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations, building better stats with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We're reacting all morning, Baldy, to just what took place last night, Monday Night Football, a game in which neither team really had anything to play for, and yet we're here today, this morning, talking about Brock Purdy, his arm, his elbow, the imaging, all that we're waiting to see there. As we're looking at you, real quick, you're on Zoom right now, and we're looking at you on YouTube. You in Florida?
I'm in Florida, right in Fort Lauderdale, man. It's New Year's Eve.
It's New Year's Eve. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'll be banging my pots and pans out here at midnight doing something. I don't know.
Well,
but, it's a day to get in the water today.
Well, that's well, I think a lot of Niners fans want to do that. They want to take a cold plunge after this season is what they want to do here and cleanse themselves from this season. And we've been talking about all morning just – your thoughts on the game last night, Baldy, and Brock Purdy. You know, we've been talking about it all morning. Should he have played? Should he have not have played? I guess what we've been talking about more is, should the decision to play a quarterback, the final two games, a guy that's going to get paid heavily, you know, should that be an organizational thing? Should Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch sit down and say, listen, we're going to pay this guy a lot of money to play for us for the next 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, should they have maybe sat down and talked about whether or not he should have played in this game? Because now there's going to be real questions depending on this imaging of his elbow that, you know, could he be out? Could he get another surgery? It could affect their long-term plans at quarterback. Or are we looking too much into it and saying, no, he needed to play. It's the second to last game of the year. It's Monday Night Football. Nothing to see here. Just, you know, bleep happens. It's football.
Well, here's how I would answer that question, Sam. What are you going to do? Not play Brock, but play Fred, play Nick. Like, you're going to play everybody else, but you're going to sit your quarterback because you got to worry about the contract next year. You can't do that. You just can't. And you can't. And here's the, and I'm not here to, you know, the question's a good question, Sam. And I'm sure people are asking it. But honestly, you can't legislate against injuries. Like, we all saw Brock take that fall. I mean, safety blitz, Brian Branch. Honestly, we all watch on the sideline. We saw him throw the two passes. It reminded me of the NFC Championship game when nobody knew what happened. But it's weird because no doctor is examining him. No, like, he's not shaking his arm. He doesn't get up looking like he's hurt. He throws two passes on the sideline. Troy's kind of comments on it. He can't put anything on it. Nobody, you can't tell watching his face what's wrong. It's weird. Like, everybody else, Nick Bosa gets hurt against Seattle, and I'm like, Nick's hurt. Like, he's hopping off the field on one leg. Like, he's not shaking his wrist, his arm. Like, you really have no idea. And you watch the replay 100 times. You can't tell what happened, but something happened. And he knew as soon as it happened, it did. But he doesn't let you on to what might be the injury.
You know, there's so many elements with the arm and the elbow and just everything. We don't know. We're going to find out. But
yeah,
how do you evaluate his performances? Like, there was a play in the game where, like, he threw the deep ball to Ricky Pearsall. It's like he was crow hopping from center field to make the throw, and it's a wobbly duck, and he got there, and it was a pass to Pearsall. Maybe a better throw. It's a 6-point touchdown. He looked decisive on the quarterback run. I was like, wow, that's old Brock. The way that he scanned the field, ran and dove in. He had energy. That 2-minute drive was brilliant. He hit Garendo over the top, and he hit Kittle, and he was making throws. He was. And then the airmail to Kittle on the play where it was a defensive penalty gets wiped away. The very next play just airmails the interception. And then the other one, he's staring down on the single high safety, and the guy steps right into it. How do you evaluate these performances, and what do you make of the second half interceptions?
The first interception, Joe, is just, it's an airmail. And you saw the reaction of John Lynch. But it's weird because he's not obstructed. You know, sometimes these throws, you're obstructed, you can't see it, you're thrown to a place on timing, the guy isn't there. Like, there could be a lot of reasons why a ball. But, I mean, Kirby Joseph's a free safety. He's as good as anybody in football. That's his position. That's what he plays. I mean, he's got the interceptions to prove it. But he literally is in center field just looking right at Brock Purdy. And he can't believe that it's thrown literally over Kittle's, you know, arms and right into it. And he's just literally not even moving. The second one, you can't really, I mean, it's just unfortunate. You know, I mean, Joseph makes a great break on the ball. It's the right throw. He just makes a great break. He made the same break on a pass to Jennings over the middle that Jennings caught the ball, and it was the ball got there before. But, you know, they like to attack the middle of the field. Those are some dangerous throws, dangerous territory. But it's what's hard is outside of those two or three throws, he had a great game. But those two or three throws maybe cost him the game. And so how you evaluate it is you can't afford those mistakes. But yet you still have to be aggressive. So I don't know. I'm sure Kyle is ticked, but you can't really make a case for why he misses Kittle on that first throw. Like, it's right there to be made. He's got a great lane to throw it to, and he stepped into the throw, and it sailed on. And you just don't know why that happened.
Is there something to be said for maybe his stature at times in a mud? Like, because I know, like, in a muddied pocket, it can be difficult to deliver the ball, right? It just is. I don't care how big you are, but there is something like he made a really nice play where he stepped up early on the Guarendo kind of lob pass into the sideline. And I was like, wow, that's a tough play. Like, got three guys in your face mask and you got to lob it over. But is there something to be said for some of these throws over the middle because of his size? Maybe it tends to be more difficult, or no? Is that a cop out?
I think it's a cop out because he's made those throws over and over again. But I mean, you have to evaluate the whole body of work. And he wasn't as good this year as he was the two previous years. I mean, it's just that. Now, is that a trend? Is that a bad year? Is that the talent around him? You're down to your fourth team left tackle, you know, your third team left guard. I mean, you can make all these cases. Your third and fourth running backs. You can make all these cases that he's a product of when the talent around him is elite. He's elite. And when it isn't elite around him, he's not as good. Now, you can make that case, and that's probably unfair. It's a generalization, but it's probably fair. But the fact is that quarterbacks that make mistakes don't win big games. And Joe Burrow's not making those mistakes, and he's winning these games right now. He can't afford to make those mistakes. Jaden Daniels is not making those mistakes, and he's winning big games. And so the great ones just don't make mistakes. And Jared Goff didn't make a mistake last night.
No.
Now, the 49ers broke down. Huh. You know, I mean, they don't challenge you very much, so you can't really say much. But he didn't make any mistakes last night.
Birdie, back to Purdy, just really quickly. For you, what's more concerning? The shoulder, elbow, long-term, you know, the moneymaker, the arm, the health? Or is it the play in crunch time?
Well, he's going to heal from whatever he injured last night. He's going to heal because he's healed repeatedly. But it is three straight years now with serious injuries. Now, we got to find out how serious this is. But it's three straight years with injuries. I mean, there is a track record there that gives you cause for concern. It just does. When you can line up and play 17 every year, that concern never crosses your mind. Jared Goff can do that. He has done that. But it is a cause for concern. I would be more concerned about the injury history right now than I would be about late game mistakes.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Roast. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky as Baldy's joining us on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the River Islands and Lathrop. We're reacting to the Lions 40-34 victory on Monday Night Football last night at Levi Stadium. And just to put a bow on this Brock Purdy conversation, because it's the conversation right now. I mean, he's the quarterback. It is what it's the San Francisco 49ers. And this has been a theme, Baldy, and we kind of stumbled into this. Just the injuries for 49ers quarterbacks has just not ended well. Whether it was Kaepernick in his shoulder, he just dwindled. There was coaching mistakes there. There were the wrong hires, all of that baked into it. But it started with the injuries there. And then you go to Jimmy Garoppolo. Why are they moving to get Trey Lance? Jimmy couldn't stay on the field. Then Trey Lance, he gets injured. As Jimmy's the backup, Jimmy comes in, he gets injured, and now you get Brock Purdy, and now he's been injured multiple games. He had to miss a game this year. He had to miss the NFC Championship game. Like, I'm just sensing a theme here, and listen, I'm not blaming John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. It's bad luck at this point just to have all these injuries happen to the quarterbacks.
Sam, this is the position. You know, Joe Burrow's missed 2 out of 5 years. Major injuries, right? Dak Prescott. How many, you know, how, I mean, you just go, you look at Jalen Hurts. I mean, you just go through the list of these guys. I mean, how many actually stay healthy? I mean, Stafford has been in and out. You know, but he, look, I mean, when he's on, when he can stand up and move, like, he still can throw it elite. But the fact is, it's the position. Jared Goff is, honestly, is the aberration right now. But you can go through the list of all these guys, and I don't care what the name of the back of the jersey is. Baker Mayfield, the injuries he had in Cleveland. All right, he stayed healthy now, but it's just, it's the nature of the position right now. I mean, it'd be good if on that play that Brian Branch hit him on, that they would have known that the safety was blitzing. Now, I saw it. He's up at the line of scrimmage. What else is Brian Branch doing there? You would think that you'd have a little bit of awareness that he's there, and they didn't, and he got hit. But it's the nature of the position. These guys are getting hit by monsters and getting crushed. I honestly don't know how some of them survive a season with some of the hits that they take.
So true. You know, you were talking about like what the Detroit was doing. They showed a graphic. There's like 1,000 guys on their defense that are injured. And at one point they had three like linemen down in the dirt, and then the two guys on the side and all the other linebackers and safeties in the box. And they were like basically daring the Niners to win one-on-one. And that's a whole nother conversation. But I thought in this one, Ricky Pearsall was getting used the way they used Debo on a lot of the in-breaking stuff and the short stuff. I thought he looked great. This was a big revelation. Where's this been for the last couple of weeks? Like, I was so encouraged with what I saw from Ricky Pearsall. What about you, Baldy?
I was sure the sideline catch, the toe tap, the one-handed catch. I mean, put that on his resume reel, whatever, how many catches there are, the touchdown catch, you know, against Branch right there, just a toe tap to be able to get that foot in. The camera angle was unbelievable. You know, that's a sprint left option. That play's been around in San Francisco for 45 years. I mean, it's great, but that's great concentration. But we saw the athletic ability. We saw the hands. We saw the separation. Like, it was truly if there was one good thing that happened last night to the 49ers, there's like, I think you could feel better about Ricky going into the offseason than maybe we did a month ago.
What about the kicker? What do you do with the kicker situation?
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
This is like Baldy. I mean, we had Jose Cortez, Mike Kofor. I mean, it's just special teams is a nightmare for Niner fans. Kyle Williams, like, just go down the list. The poor kicker, and I feel bad for him, but like this can't continue. Like, what? He pushed one right. He, you know, hooked one left like it's me driving a golf ball, and then he pushed another one, the extra point.
And the onside kick.
And the onside kick.
He blew it out of bounds.
Baldy, what do you do?
Well, first of all, why do you march him out there on the 58-yard kick?
Thank you.
I mean, what do you – I know that you're not playing for any postseason berth, but you want to win the game. Like, why are you – you're just going to give Detroit field position. Like, what's the odds of him making a 58-yarder at this point after what he's been through? But, like, all kickers, I mean, you look at all the kickers in this league. I mean, Justin Tucker, they're all on a carousel. They're all moving. They're all like, okay, they're cut today, they're picked up tomorrow. I mean, the Jets don't have a kicker that can make a kick. Like, how many kickers give you confidence right now? Jake doesn't give you any confidence. The onside kick is ridiculous. You practice that every single day. Like, you got to get the bounce. Like, that just is ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, he shanks it on, you know, an extra point. Like, I don't know. At some point, you got to have – I mean, if I'm John Lynch, then I'm not just John Lynch in San Francisco, but I'm any general manager around the league. Like, I've got a kicker on my practice squad, and I'm challenging my kicker every day. Like, and I'm challenging him in practice every day to make these kicks. But it's been a disaster all year. They've lost a number of games this year because of it. They've got to get that fixed. They spent, a third-round pick? Did they spend a third-round pick on him?
A third-round pick on him.
Yeah. I mean, I could go down to, I could go to Argentina right now and find a kicker. I don't have to spend anything. Plane ticket, that's it.
Brian Baldinger joining us here. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Sam Lubman doing a hell of a job producing our show right now. And he put a great question on here because you joined Sam and Jake Hutchinson last week, Baldy. And you gave Ricky Pearsall an incomplete. So we've been having a lot of doom and gloom in this interview right now, rightfully so. But a bright spot last night was slick Rick Pearsall. Baldy, looking good.
I mean, it was actually good to see him smiling.
Yes.
Like, you know, right? He was contributing. He made some plays. He didn't look like he had for much of the season where he was either invisible or not making anything happen. Last night, you could see, like, it was a good night for Ricky. And, you know, you feel a lot better about him because, you know, could he, you know, Troy talked about it throughout the night. Like, you guys have to beat man coverage. You've got to be able to separate. You just can't throw jump balls to these players and think you're going to have a, you know, a good passing game. And so to see him separate on whether it's a dig route or whether it's in cut, or to see him make that catch on the sideline, or the, like, it was good. It was a good night for Ricky. And I gave him an incomplete because I thought it was incomplete. Last night can kind of turn your impressions around of what he could be in this offense.
Totally agree. And, you know, I think George Kittle was a typical George Kittle, just awesome, one of the Hall of Famers. Like, throw him to the side. Nick Bosa, best game of the year. And I know you love Nick. I just thought he was relentless last night. He was awesome. He took on the challenge of Penei Sewell, and I thought it was a great gladiator match. But I got to talk about the rest of the defense. They're so slow. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs is a dynamic player. He reminds me, and Baldy, you'd be more versed, he's like a hybrid Kamara meets Jamal Charles. He reminds me of Jamal Charles. I love watching him play. That being said, we look so slow, and then we're playing 1,000 yards off of Amon-Ra St. Brown at the goal line on fourth down, and they go to John Lynch in the booth after the play, and he's like punching air, and I'm thinking, what is? I know the personnel stinks. I'm not here to like pretend that the personnel is the 85 Bears, but what are we doing schematically? I don't get it. Is it like, Baldy, I'm losing
my mind. There's an old saying, Joe. There's an old saying, whether you're a linebacker or defensive back, in that situation where Amon-Ra catches that that pivot route for a touchdown. Like, if you back up, you give it up. You step up, you clean it up. Like, there's no, and then it's the other old saying is 10 toes on the goal line. That's the defense. We're not backing up, and we're defending the goal line. We're not giving you the goal line. Like, put your toes on the goal line and keep it all in front of you. Like, you know, even if you look at the play by Brian Branch where Pearsall scored, I mean, he's attacking the play. Now, he almost gets him, like, he gets one toe on the goal line, and that saved him. And it took about 10 replays for them to okay it. But that's how you play goal line defense. Like, that's what drove John Lynch nuts. That's what, like, John Lynch is usually pretty controlled up there. But that got him up going, what are we doing? What is Ronaldo doing here? Like, this is stupid. This is just dumb football. Like, you're just giving him this underneath stuff like this.
And they did the same thing on the fourth down play to Laporta. I go, guys, like, what are we doing? It was like the softest zone coverage. I don't understand. And is this just Kyle's philosophy on how to play defense? The whole league is playing man with disguising blitzes and all this stuff. And I feel like we're in the most soft serve McDonald's late night, you know, ice cream cone zone defense. What are we doing?
The machine's broken.
Well, I mean, when you were in man, you got like bunch formation to death. Like, you saw Mustafa, you know, and Fred Warner complete, like, Fred was all over Mustafa on the play where Laporta is wide open for 20 yards. And it's classic bunch formation. Okay, we're going to test your, you know, your communication skills right here. You know, are you going to banjo it? Or are you manning it? You fighting through the picks? What are you zoning? What are you doing? And repeatedly, they caught the 49ers, you know, two guys going in the same, you know, and look, the Niners did the same thing to the Lions, too, for a number of, you know, the play down the field to Pearsall is a classic case of that bunch formation and two guys running into each other, you know, so Arnold and Brandon's running into each other and Pearsall is wide open. So that's why you run those formations. But there's just too many breakdowns. And look, outside of Nick, there's not one guy on that defensive line right now. I mean, we understand how, you know, the injuries and everything. But I thought from the very beginning of the season, especially when Hargrave went out, that they did not have enough personnel to run the defense they want to run. They just don't. They don't have the personnel to be a four-man front and not be a big blitz team and all that kind. Like, they don't have the personnel to do it.
Well, we were talking about this morning. Did Leonard Poole even play last night? Like, he was brought in here to be the number two, and it might be the quietest. He might finish. I don't even know if he played last night. He has 8.5 sacks. Might be the quietest 8.5 sack season I've ever seen. It's unfortunate, Baldy, because I know you were high on him coming in here because he's been so damn consistent throughout his career. It's just, it feels like they've been trying to find a number two alongside Nick Bosa. They brought in his friend Chase Young last year. You know, Chase Young played well in the Super Bowl. I'll give him credit there. But for the most part, it wasn't a lot. Randy Gregory didn't do much. I think he had a sack in his first game as a Niner. Yep. Didn't hear from him the rest of the way. Eric Armstead, defensive tackle, obviously. He did some nice things, but he wasn't on the field. Javon Hargrave, the last year. It's just, when I look at everything, the totality of this team right now, we have all offseason for draft talk, and we'll talk to you about it. But they just need someone, whether it's his brother, Joey, I don't know. Bringing in someone here to help Nick out is got to be priority number one.
Well, you need three. You need an inside push, and you need two on the edge. You just do. You know, you look at any team in this league right now that's playing great defense, they're gonna present that to you. You're going to see that. And so right now, I mean, the inside push, I mean, I know Givens has been out, and, you know, Malik gives you everything he's got. But honestly, when they're rolling, they've got three that are winning. And the quarterback can't step up. I mean, Goff, outside of Nick getting there last night a couple of times, I mean, Goff wasn't basically touched. And so, but that's been the story. That's been the story all year. And you have to, honestly, when you're building a team right now, outside of your quarterback and what Detroit's built on their offense line, what the Eagles have built, what the great teams in this league have right now, you have to put your resources into your defensive front. You just do. You have to affect the quarterback. And if you don't, I don't care if you got Deion Sanders out there, you got Ronnie Lott out there, like, you're going to get beat down the field in this league because the rules are made for it. It's impossible to hold up past 4 seconds. You got to put your resources in your defense line and resourcing good players and in depth positions too.
Baldy, hey, good stuff, man. Obviously, we'll do it again next week. Got one more to go. I'd be surprised if you see a lot of the starters next week. I'd be surprised if Brock Purdy plays next week. But, man, you've been good to us all season long, and I hope you have a happy new year. I hope everything goes well tonight. Looks lovely out there in Florida. I'm bundled up, and so is Joe Shasky. It's cold out here in the Bay Area, and it's been cold for the 49ers fans. But mercifully, it's going to be coming in, to an end next week. Thanks, man.
Happy New Year, Sam. Joe, all the best. We got a good football, though. We got a lot of good college games this weekend coming up, or this week. We'll find out who makes it. Does Joe Burrow get in the playoffs? Mm. Like, if Joe Burrow gets in the playoffs, I'm like, watch out, because they can put up 30 on anybody at any time. So, anyways. All right, guys.
All right,
Happy New Year to you. I'll talk
to
you soon.
Hey, that's Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As you all know, all guests on any